from World Evangelism Center, St. Louis, Missouri, USA, reaching every nation with Bible salvation in harvest time. Wonderful day to serve the Lord. What a wonderful time to draw near to Him. It is a joy to greet you today in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. May I say how thrilled we would all be at Harvest Time to hear from you this week. Our mail address is Harvest Time, Box 215, St. Louis, Missouri, 63166, USA. We have so many new friends, so many people who are not yet really acquainted with the total ministry of Harvest Time. This is Harvest Time's 1146th radio service. Nearly 23 years of wonderful ministry in the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. In a few moments, the original speaker of Harvest Time is speaking at this time. His name is Nathaniel A. Urshan, and he will be bringing you an exciting and revealing message from God's wonderful Word. We would like to tell you about the Harvest Time Cassette Club, our guest pulpit library in book and also cassette form. We would like to tell you about outstanding broadcasts and conference tapes, also about strikingly beautiful and authentic prints and framed photographs, especially done for Harvest Time by Lily Agnew. There is so much that we would like to share with you, together with informative articles and a course entitled Pentecost, A Whole New World. I would love to hear from you. Again, our mail address, Harvest Time, Box 215, St. Louis, Missouri, 63166, USA. Kelvin Alexander lifts his marvelous voice and sings, Give Them All to Jesus.
Are you tired of chasing pretty rainbows? Are you tired of spinning round and round? Wrap up all the shattered dreams of your life, and at the feet of Jesus, lay them down. Give them all. Shattered dreams, wounded hearts, broken toys. Give them all, give them all, give them all to Jesus, and He will turn your sorrow into joy. He never said you'd only sunshine. He never said there'd be no rain. He only promised a heart full of singers about the very things that once brought pain. Give them all, give them all. Give them all. to Jesus. Shattered dreams, wounded hearts, broken toys. Give them all to Jesus, and He will turn your sorrow into joy. Rainbows spinning round and round, shattered dreams, lay them down.
Let me mention just briefly again that no one needs to be without the ministry of Harvest Time. For each month, you can receive the complete Harvest Time programs for that month on high-quality cassette tapes. We would send you information about the Harvest Time Cassette Club if we could hear from you this week to Harvest Time, Box 215, St. Louis, Missouri, 63166, USA. We would love to hear from you. God bless you. And now with this message from God's Word, your Harvest Time radio minister, Nathaniel A. Urshan.
The world is quickly going berserk. I know you are aware that crime is growing nearly 7 times faster than the population. 3 times as many crimes are committed as reported. It has been proven that poverty, lack of education, and other such things cause crime. Gross offense in crime in wealthy, educated suburbia is growing twice as fast as in huge cities. In 1966, serious crime was up 11%. 5 crimes per minute were committed in 1966. In the year 1981, it has doubled. Instead of being up 11% as in 66, it is now 20%. And 10 crimes committed in the year 1981. Major crimes in Los Angeles outstripped the population by 10 times in the last 16 years. In Washington, D.C., crime rose 42% over the same month as in 1975. Seattle, Washington had 146% rise in murders, 496% rise in robberies, 610% rise in auto theft, 1,300% in burglaries. The population increase was only 0.017%. All of this happened since the year 1960. There are more murders in Houston, Texas, than in all of England. Cities such as New York and Chicago outstrip most European countries in their homicidal totals. What is the cost of crime? In the United States, it's about $35 billion a year. That's about 1/4 of the total national budget. Not only that, but in a recent survey, some 90% of those interviewed admitted that they had committed one or more offenses for which they would have drawn jail sentences. How many did not admit it? This is a question you need to consider. What is the causative factor? The condition that causes our crime-crazy world to be in the position it is at this hour? I think the answer is simple. The inhabitants of planet Earth, as a whole, are forgetting and denying that Almighty God, and the cost for forgetting God is tragic. Can you dare say that there is no connection between crime rate and atheism? Do you venture that there is no connection between juvenile delinquency and the fact that many churches have canceled not only midweek meetings, but Sunday night services as well? Not only that, can you absolutely say that there's no connection between violence and the serious things that are shown violently on television. You see, this world today has more leisure time than ever before in which to devise wickedness and invent all sorts of atrocious sins. We are following the path of the Roman Empire. The decay of this great nation is not from without, but, friend, it is from within. I can almost hear you say you're preaching pessimism, but my reply to that is not so. These are facts. Facts are facts. Quoting them in a mealy-mouthed way and hurrying to something else does not change them. The time has come that you must do something about the way that you are living. This world can come to no good until there is an intervention of righteousness. And that intervention must come from the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you the question, where are our churches headed? In San Francisco, there appeared this headline, "The Move Toward a New Type of Religion." That was the headline. The article reads, "Decoration at Religious Ceremony at Immaculate Heart College in Los Angeles consisted of garden flowers placed in 76 deep orange oil cans as a symbol of Christian involvement in the world." Ash Wednesday service began with the reading of New York Times headlines. Bootblacks hurt as 35% cut their shoeshine business. Read the clergyman. We let him pray in areas that are absolutely harmful to the individual spiritual life. And an outdoor vesper service recently, traditional music gave way to a tape-recorded anthem that included disconnected bits of electronic music, newscasts, strange clanging sounds, and a detergent commercial. Earlier in the afternoon, the congregation had to put together a 12-foot-high assemblage of old tires, beer cans, a hockey glove, and other pieces of junk. The results range from religious happenings to theological interpretations of the cartoon Peanuts and a pop art chapel designed to destroy itself. Where are the churches going today? Are they advancing spiritually? What do 76 deep orange cans have to do with the Lord Jesus? What do detergent commercials and clanging sounds and a hockey glove have to do with Jesus dying for our sins? The answer is absolutely nothing. But they do have something to do with a satanic power pulling the wool over the eyes of the majority of church members today. In one of the great churches of our country recently, teenagers performed a discotheque in the aisles to beat music. And with all of the lack of modesty in dress. How disgusting, revolting, sinful can people be in the name of the church and in the name of our Lord? If he were here today, would he be assembling beer cans? Would he be condoning some of these very strange happenings? I know that you hear that you are hearing me and that those that hear me know better than that. You may be one of the few who realize what a terrible condition the world is in, but chances are that you're going right on partaking of the things that are harmful to your mind, your body, and your soul. I'd like to point out that if something is harmful to your body, it is certainly harmful in other areas like your mind, and certainly truly damaging to your soul. Sin is a habitual ravage of the soul of man. When the people in the United States were warned that cigarettes were harmful to an individual's health and were prime causes of lung cancer, and that women that were bearing children could affect their children seriously in weaknesses of very significant organs of the body, some of the sales slacked off for a very short time. But soon, people were back at the sucking on cigarettes and away above normal. Shock had worn off. People tried to forget the consequences and were right back to the old habit. Why? Because the habit of smoking affected their minds to such an extent that they have to have cigarettes. Don't fool yourselves, parents. Whatever your boys and your girls see you doing, they're going to do it also. They are following in your footsteps. Although they are innocent and may not be old enough to realize the dreadful harm it will cause to their bodies, they think if mom or dad does it, it must be all right. As a matter of fact, a recent survey in England showed that the majority of boys smoking marijuana already at the ages of about 10 to 14, and girls also in the same bracket, over 40% were smoking dope. Their reasoning had to do with a matter of a $57,000 358 cigarette smoking machine to test tar and nicotine. What a waste of money. It is fantastic and unbelievable, but that is a picture of our world today. Individuals risk their lives to satisfy an evil habit. Out of the Associated Press from London, Dr. John Barker, psychiatrist in Shrewsbury, thinks he may have cured a compulsive slot machine player with an electric shock treatment. Every Friday night, 34-year-old Mr. X took his $46 that he was using for his own expenditure to a pub that has two slot machines. Regularly, he gambled away this money. In desperation, the young Mrs. X appealed to Dr. Barker. He talked to the husband, who agreed to enter the hospital for treatment. The psychiatrist borrowed a slot machine, took it to the hospital, connected it to an electric shock machine used in treating mental disorders. "We let him play the machine for 3 hours at a time," said Dr. Barker. "Every time as he tugged away at the handle, he would receive a 70-volt shock. So great was Mr. X's compulsion to gambling that he was perfectly willing to take more than 600 shocks. After about 620 shocks, he began to show a reluctance to play. This is incredible. What does Mr. X need? What does the murderer need? What does the thief need? Do they need shock treatments, padded cells, jail sentences? These things are apparently our alternative, that they will not change a person's heart or his mind. They need, and you need, a personal, dynamic, heart-changing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. A human being can be satisfied with nothing else. In 1 John 2:15 through 17, we read, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." These verses can be applied today to you and I. These are the three reasons. Reasons for all of the trouble and strife on our planet. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Unless you are born again by the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost, you have these things very active in your life, whether you admit it or not. The lust of the flesh, pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. You're living in a land of plenty, really in a land of too much, and you still want more. The lust of the eyes, Proverbs 27:20 says, "The eyes of a man are never satisfied." What a true and a current statement. Everything that you see, you want. Men want wonderful wives, beautiful children. They then have lust after someone else. What a wicked and perverse generation this is. People run here and there, trying to find something to satisfy. The trail is hot from one pleasure spot to another, from one party to the next. The masses are never happy outside of the Lord Jesus. The pride of life, Proverbs 6:16 says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him." The very first thing mentioned is a proud look. God hates pride. But all of those who are not born of the Spirit of God and some who are supposedly born again have it to some degree. You are proud of your business, proud of your home, proud of your car, proud of everything you have. Take a moment and consider. You wouldn't have a single solitary thing unless God allowed you to have it. Not only is pride hated by God, it is repulsive to man. You don't like to be around proud people, yet chances are that you are proud yourself and don't even know it. Friend, there's a time coming when my Lord is going to return to this earth. The sea will become blood. Rivers and fountains will be turned to blood. The sun will scorch men with fire. There will be a greater earthquake than ever before. Hailstones will fall, weighing 11 pounds each. If you don't believe it, read the 16th chapter of the book of Revelation. But listen to this. The Bible tells us that we are going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll have immortal bodies. But the question is, how can you obtain an immortal body? It's so simple. You must have the Spirit of the Lord inside of you. And you must be wonderfully buried in His precious name. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. How do you receive it? You receive it by repenting, doing an about-face, being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. When you've done these things, God has promised to pour out His Holy Spirit on you and give you a mighty spiritual experience that will sanctify your thinking process. It will sanctify the way you look at things in this world. It will also come to you in a very beautiful way of grief striking. When you feel an intent to do wrong, the Spirit of God in you will grieve and help you to stop and consider that the steps you take into unrighteousness are steps that you might not be able to retrace again, and that the danger of them might lead you to a judgment eternal. And today, as you listen to Harvest Time, I want you to know that you need to find a place and position in the Lord Jesus. It's a position of security in a terrified, tragic world, in a time when crime abounds. You can find a peace and a serenity in the presence of the Lord that will help you to bridge over the top of a crime-crazy, dope-addicted, alcohol-afflicted world and find water from the life of the very eternals, the abundant water of life that can change you and quench your thirst.
harvest time has brought you a Bible message with a clear and certain sound. A printed copy of today's outstanding gospel message is available to you if you will request it when you write to us at Harvest Time, Box 215, St. Louis, Missouri, 63166, USA. We would be extremely pleased to hear from you this week and to know that you are attending the United Pentecostal Church near you. You'll love the atmosphere of this truth-proclaiming center in your area. Now, in behalf of our General Superintendent, Nathaniel A. Urshan, and the people of the United Pentecostal Church International, this is Hugh Rose saying, God bless you. It was great to be with you today, and we'll be looking forward to being with you next week.